Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? You hear people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, I'm going to try to scoot over and talk to this guy. Yeah, only on university campuses. Dude's wearing flip-flops and a ski hat. He's hot, he's cold. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to talk to him. You're listening to Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesday. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I talk to you for a moment on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. I just walking, I'll follow along. Okay. All right, what are you listening to on your headset?
Right now, Newfound Glory.
What's that?
It's a band, a punk band, I'd say.
Newfound Glory? What mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It's a band name.
What does it mean?
Newfound...
It's got the name Glory. Is it religious?
No, not religious. I'd say it's just... I really don't know.
All right. Here's why I wanted to talk to you. You're flip-flopping, and you got a ski hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The hat's comfortable. And I like to have the air on my feet.
But not on your head?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. We all have personal preferences.
It's also fashionable.
Ah, for the chicks.
Of course.
There you go. Because that's a big part of going to school, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Overall, do you think this is a pretty moral campus?
I'd say so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Compared to...
There's a lot of places you can go religious-wise if you'd like to. They keep everything pretty decent. You don't see, like... You know, inappropriate posters
all over
the place.
I've been surprised at that.
I think it's a pretty moral, pretty good campus.
Yeah. What about you? How are you morally?
I mean, I'm not too religious. I don't go to church, but I believe I have a moral standing. I'm just not tied to one religion at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I always ask myself what I feel is morally right, and I do that.
Is it possible that there's a moral standard outside of yourself?
You mean like pre-written morals that we should follow, like a religion?
Well, that or wherever you get it. I'm just thinking about the criminal who would stand in front of the judge maybe and say what you just said. And that is, Judge, every day I ask myself, am I living right? Ultimately, it's not going to matter. If the judge thinks you're guilty no matter what you think.
Right. Well, I mean, there are laws that you have to obey, and...
What about moral laws, though?
Laws?
Nobody's looking. Stuff you can get away with, stuff where there aren't written laws about it. Do you think that there's a different set of morals in the universe?
I believe that you're going to have to... I believe in karma. So I believe if you do something wrong, morally wrong, even if no one catches you, eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Okay, I'm always curious, going this way, when it comes to karma, who is the cosmic accountant that's making sure that people get punished?
It's not necessarily that there's some higher being, in my belief.
This way?
Like I said, I'm not really with a religion. It's mostly that almost probability. It's just a power. It's not really a being. It's just... the forces of nature, kind of.
No, that sounds like God to me.
In a sense, it is. It's just, I'm not exactly atheist. I just don't know which God I'd like to call it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is it perhaps a more specific question, not what do I want to call God, but who is God?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you don't know?
I'd say so.
Did you grow up in a religious home?
Yes. Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they say God is?
A divine being that created the earth and all the things in it and controls all the things in it.
Uh-huh. And you don't think that's right?
I think it's right. I just didn't stick with that religion because there were some things that I was unsure about. And there were some things in other religions that I...
Oh, we're interested.
That I liked, yeah.
What were you unsure about when it comes to being a Southern Baptist?
The creation. Me, obviously, I go to tech. I like science. I kind of feel more towards the scientific creation and evolution.
Yeah.
But can't really think of too many examples off the top of my head. Huh. Mostly it was just I saw other things in other religions that I appreciated.
Like reincarnation, karma?
Karma. Not necessarily reincarnation, but karma and just...
Well, Christianity has karma in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That God will make sure that anything that's done that's wrong will get punished. So that aspect is in Christianity, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't feel it. Like, when I talk to Christians and I go to church and things like that, I didn't feel that they believed in karma as I did. I didn't feel like their points of view of the topic were agreed entirely with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a point where I'm just looking around. Probably I will end up going back to Southern Baptist just because that's my roots, and if anything, it's probably what I feel strongest with.
Okay, tell
me. I'm just looking around right
this
now.
Believe it or not, you and I have a lot in common. You don't know this, but we do. I was a lot like you many years ago because I didn't understand something. So I'd like to ask you, tell me, what is the gospel?
The gospel? The books written by...
No, what is the gospel? The good news. The Christian gospel.
Don't believe I know.
Okay. That might be a big... What's your first name?
Casey.
Okay, Casey. It's all right. Okay, Casey, this might be helpful. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to test that. All right? How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
A few. Okay. So if you tell a few lies, what does that make you? If I told a few lies, you might call me a...
Liar.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your life?
Never.
Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I might have a few.
Blasphemy. Okay. How many times, we talked about girls before, how many times have you looked at a woman on campus with lust, with sexual desire?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. We won't get into fornication. Okay. We won't get into pornography. We'll just leave it with looking with lust.
Okay.
Okay, the Bible says you're going to die, and you're going to give an account. The books will be open, so there you stand, naked before God. No attorneys, no parents, nothing. You and God. He knows every thought, every deed done in darkness, everything you should have done but didn't, all the times you had a meal and you didn't thank him.
Mm-hmm.
Would he find you innocent or guilty, Casey?
Well, again, that comes back to, that's the Christian God that you're speaking of. The things that you've named off that you feel are wrong does not agree with what I feel is wrong.
Again, this comes back to, it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think? So, if the Bible is true, okay, grant me that premise. If the Bible is true, if the God of the Bible is the only God, no other options, he's it. He's the creator, he's your maker, those are his laws. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I would consider myself innocent because my beliefs are different than... I don't believe...
I believe there could
be more than one God. I believe there could be a Christian God. There could be, you know, Buddha. There could be multiple gods. We each may see our own God when we come to
Setting
heaven.
That aside for a moment, my premise is this. If there is only one God, and you stand before him, and he knows everything you've done, innocent or guilty...
I may be guilty of a few things. That's for him to decide.
Right.
But I do things as I feel best. Day to day, I do what I feel is right. And I don't regret a single thing I've done. If I stand in front of him, if I have done wrong in choosing who I wish to believe, and I stand in front of your God, and he deems me guilty and sends me to hell, then I can at least say I've done my best. I've done what I feel is right. Day to day, moment to moment, I've done what I feel is right, and I deserve what I get.
Okay.
And I will burn in hell. And that's... what I pay. At least I can say that I made the best decision I could moment to moment.
You don't want to go to hell?
I don't want to, but if I'm doing the best I feel I can and your God sends me to hell, what does that say about your God?
That he's just.
Okay, then I deserve to go to hell. That's what it boils down to.
Casey, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel now? This is where the good news comes in. What is it?
You mean if I do all things right, I go to heaven?
No, you haven't. So you're in big trouble already. So that's.
But you're saying that's what the good news would be.
No.
If I did do everything right.
How many years did you go to church, Casey?
I went to church, went to summer Bible camp of years when I was younger.
Okay.
Didn't go to church on Sundays, no.
Okay, dude, the good news is, Jesus Christ, you've heard his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. He came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve the wrath of the Father. Jesus took it on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. You've broken the law. Jesus paid your fine. And if you'll repent, apologize, put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you'll be forgiven of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. God will save you and he'll take you to heaven based on what his son did. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know you're thinking about stuff here. And you're going through campus and college and trying to figure these things out. All right? I can't club you over the head and make you a Christian. But at least now, if nothing else, there's some clarity about what the Christian gospel is. We're lawbreakers. Jesus died for us and demonstrated his love. You've heard the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian gospel is that of good news. It does demand that you confess that all other gods are idols. They aren't true. They don't exist. There's only one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent and put your trust in him, you'll go to heaven. That's the Christian gospel. So as you ponder things and try to figure it out as you're on campus here,
mm-hmm.
now at least you're dealing with what the Bible teaches, and now you know what the options are. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. You're a gentleman.
Good
Thanks
day.
Very much. Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right, man. See ya. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, here's my guy. He's sitting on a bench. He's got a backpack. There's a shocker. And he's got red hair. My understanding is red hair in Great Britain is not a good thing. Not the same in the States, but apparently in Great Britain, if you've got red hair, there's a name for it. And they're not nice names, let's put it that way. He looks like he might be an athletic sort of fellow. Let's see if we can chat with him. Hey, young man, while you're sitting killing time, could I talk to you on the radio for a minute?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
Nathan Steele.
Nathan, nice to meet you. Do you know what your first name means?
No, I don't.
I do.
What's it mean?
It means gift of God. Did you know that?
I didn't.
It's a Hebrew name. It's one of the few things I remember from studying Hebrew. Natan is your name. It means gift of God.
Cool.
Dude, what are you studying here at the campus?
Computer science.
Computer, so you're a geek. You are a geek.
I am.
Here's my question for you, Nathan. The big storm that went through Georgia, tons of rain, a lot of devastation, flooding, some people died. Nathan, who do you think caused that rain to happen? Was there a God, a cosmic force, nature? Who is the one responsible for all that rain?
I'd have to say nature.
Nature. No? Hello.
Hello.
You don't have to stand. Are you together? Just hanging out? You'd have to say nature. So it just kind of happened all by itself. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you believe that there is a God?
I do.
Who do you think it is, Nathan?
Couldn't tell you. I'd say there's a God, but I couldn't tell you who it is.
So why do you think there is one?
Just how I grew up.
Did you grow up in a church?
Christian, yep.
Couple? Okay. What kind of Christian? There's lots of stripes
Catholic.
Of Christians. So you're Catholic. So you believe in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right?
Yep.
I got that. Look at me, two today. Nathan, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So would you be willing to say that that is who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
I'd say so.
Cool. You believe in that God. How come?
Couldn't tell you, honestly.
Really? Maybe because you just grew up with it?
Yeah.
Kind of went along with the program. How old are you now, Nathan?
18.
So you're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
So now you should be figuring out if that's true or not, huh? Why would somebody like me want to believe what you believe? Can you give me a good reason to believe what you believe?
Nope. I'd say just believe whatever.
Whatever. All right. Are you ready for some tough questions now?
Sure.
All right. These are going to get dicier. Nathan, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quiz you.
All right.
All right. Nathan, how many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, countless.
Countless. Okay. So if I told countless lies, what would you call me?
Say you're a normal person.
Well, I don't think I disagree with you, but the name that you would give to me rhymes with pants on fire.
All right.
A liar?
A liar.
Right? You tell a bunch of lies, mm-hmm. You're a liar. All right. Nathan, how many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
A couple.
Couple. All right. Only one thing, and that would make you a...
Liar. Or
thief.
A thief.
Thief.
Yep.
Righto. Okay. Little trickier. Thought life. What goes on in your brain? Have you ever just been really mad at somebody torqued driving down the road? You think they're a moron for being such a terrible driver?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because God sees what's going on in your brain and would call that murder of the heart. Now, it's not as bad as committing the act, but it's still bad because you've had a hateful, murderous thought in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have not.
Ever?
Nope.
Ever never?
Nope.
Not an OMG? None of that monkey business?
Nope.
You're sure?
Yep.
All right. So you're good to go on that one. All right. Has God always been your number one priority in life?
Nope.
Okay. Because that would be the first commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. All right. Now, you don't have to answer this one, especially with the girl standing here. But if you have ever had thoughts about other people that were, well, let's say... either R or X rated, or if mom or dad knew about him, it would be kind of embarrassing. That would also be a strike against you as a good person.
That would.
All right? All right, so dude, I just asked you like 5 questions to see if you're a good person, and you confessed to me that you're a liar, a thief, a murderer, and potentially an adulterer at heart. Yikes. You're sure you're a good person?
Yep.
Okay, so if you died and you stood before God and he knew the books and he knew everything that you've ever done, ever, every deed done in darkness, everything you failed to do,
mm-hmm.
all those things by not having him first in your life, would he say that you, Nathan, are an innocent man or a guilty man?
I would have to say innocent.
How come?
Because, I don't know, that's hard to say. I don't know.
Well, if you've broken the laws...
That is true.
You'd be guilty.
I guess so.
I know I'd be guilty. Way more than you, by the looks of you, but I'd be guilty and you'd be guilty.
I I guess so.
Okay, so if God is just, this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just, and he hates sin, and he's got to punish lawbreakers, because he doesn't like it when criminals get away with breaking the law. We don't like that either, do we, when we watch the news and we see the bad guy get away? What would God do with you, Nathan?
Probably punishment.
Okay, heaven or hell for you?
Couldn't tell you. I think that'd be up to him.
I agree. But we could probably conclude it wouldn't be a good day
for
Nathan.
No, probably not.
Probably not a good day. All right, now, dude, you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the Father's going to judge you, send you to hell if you've broken his laws. Tell me, what did the Son do so you don't have to go to hell?
Recant.
No, tell me what he did 2,000 years ago. Here's what we got. Here's our situation. Nathan's a lawbreaker. You're on trial. You're guilty. You've got an infinite debt to pay. Jesus did something 2,000 years ago to pay your fine. What did he do?
Come on.
All right. Actually, you know what? I have to go.
Okay. Real quick. You'll catch up to it. What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago so you don't have to go to hell? You know this.
Gave his life.
That's right. He died for you, a sinner, so that you don't have to go to hell. You need to repent and put your trust in him, all of your sins forgiven, so that you don't die and go to hell. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
What do you think about this today?
All right.
All right. I appreciate it, Nathan. See ya.
See ya.
All right. Goodbye. Nathan had to go chase after the chick. Who did I think it was Johnny Hunt that I just heard at the Deeper Conference. Johnny Hunt just said something. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. If you've never heard the fire and brimstone preaching of Johnny Hunt, I agree with him. He said most people in this country, they've heard parts of the story. They just need you to put it together for them. And it's very, very true. This, you know, this kid, he knows Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but doesn't believe in him, but that's his God, but he doesn't know who it is, and Jesus on the cross, the whole, it's just a hash for them, and you need to help put it together for them, and you can. It's really, honestly, if I ever get this book published, what I think is the biggest, if you want to use marketing terms, target market there is in the country. People who went to church as a kid but don't understand the gospel, or they've had some sort of Christian experience going to a Christian camp or the football outreach thing, but they never really understood it, and they need you to clear it up for them. Most people in this country fit that category. So if you're an odds kind of guy or gal, and it's like, well, who should I go witness to, where there's a good chance that they're confused? Answer pretty much anybody in this country. So please find yourself a fishing hole, and it might even be your neighborhood. Could you start up a Bible study in your neighborhood? I tell you this with pride is a sin. With glee, with delight. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story about a woman. I don't want to use her name, but let's just say that I'm married to her. She was trying to figure out something that, besides being a part of this ministry and supporting this ministry and doing this ministry, besides this, she wanted to figure out, okay, what can I do directly? And she thought it through and pondered this and pondered that, and then finally decided, neighborhood Bible study. Neighborhood Bible study. And even though it turns out here in the South, there's a lot of neighborhood Bible studies, but I got to tell you something, they might as well just be called coffee clutches, because that's basically what they are. I was in like a Starbucks or a Caribou. I walked up to the table of women who are, they've got their Bibles open, all the different pages, because basically they just pulled up a table, ordered their latte frappe, and they were just sitting there chatting. So when I walked up to the table and said, hey, ladies, what are you studying? What? You've got Bibles. What are you studying? Oh, well, we haven't gotten that far yet. Big a little, dog a little, big a little, dog a little. And that's what a lot of neighborhood Bible studies are. So why don't you compete with a good one and start doing your networking? And that's what this woman that I happen to know and live with, who I happen to be married to, did. How many people are attending it? Five. No. Is that a huge success? Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if it was five or even one. And her, and I believed her. She said, if one shows up, I'll be happy. If I can just explain it to one. What is your bag, Christian? Get on it. I'm telling you. Yeah, you're going to get shot down once in a while. Yes, you will be sick to your stomach, nervous. It can be considered like a weight loss program. I'm telling you, it'll make you nervous and sick to your stomach. It is scary. Whoop-de-doo. Do it, and the joy that you will get out of it, and if somebody, even one, gets saved, even one gets it. Besides that, you're not called to do the saving. You're just called to do the preaching. So please, figure out your deal and get on it, would you? Because everywhere I look here on the campus, they're just lost. And they're at such a ripe age to figure it out. I know George Barna will say this or that statistic about the college kids, they've lost their faith. Well, they didn't lose it. They never had it in the first place. And my belief is that most of these kids are at least willing to try to figure it out. We'll keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Good news on two fronts from the Trump Justice Department. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche repealed three Biden-era gun regulations, including the stabilizing brace rule and the expanded definition of who legally qualifies as a firearm dealer, rules that effectively turned law-abiding gun owners into criminals through bureaucratic wordplay without a single vote in Congress. American K-12 schools spent $1 trillion in 2024, and in exchange, test scores went down and enrollment dropped by a million students over the past decade. Meanwhile, the states that are actually showing improvement, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, West Virginia, are the same ones aggressively expanding school choice. Florida now has 53% of its students attending a school they actually chose. Texas launched a $1 billion education savings account program and received 274,000 applications in year one. California and New York responded to all of this by moving to restrict choice further, and their senators introduced legislation to eliminate the federal scholarship tax credit entirely. Gallup released numbers last month. The share of American men between 18 and 29 who call religion very important jumped from 28% to 42% in just 2 years. That's a 14% swing that erased nearly a quarter century of decline in about 24 months. And if you've been paying attention to culture, that's not entirely surprising. The whole anti-God experiment that was supposed to produce enlightened, liberated progress, what it actually produced was a meaning crisis and a generation of young men who are not okay, and apparently a whole lot of them have figured that out. And from Australia comes a story that illustrates exactly where the assisted suicide movement is leading. 26-year-old Annalise Holland, who suffers from a debilitating autoimmune condition, plans to end her life through assisted dying this year. She was once pro-life until her friend Lily chose assisted death under Australia's voluntary dying law, and Annalise held her friend's hand while it happened. Now she has a doctor who describes herself as passionate and loving, and the two of them just won a joint Woman of the Year award. Yeah, the culture doesn't just permit this path anymore, it is celebrating it. Finally, European researchers have invented a fake disease, if I can pronounce this correct, Vexanimania. They published fabricated studies about it and then watched as Gemini, Perplexity, Copilot, and eventually ChatGPT all reported it as a real medical condition. The fake researcher they created worked at a fake university in a fake California city, and the papers themselves included the line, quote, "This paper is entirely made up." None of that stopped any of the AIs. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days and is perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And there's a young man who, he's Southern Baptist or Presbyterian, I'm just guessing by the haircut, who is sitting and eating a bag of crunchy things with cheese on them. Correct, young man?
Yes.
All right. What's your first name, young man?
Kevin.
Kevin, may I talk to you on the radio for a minute? I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, what are you eating in that non-Ziploc bag?
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Dude, and good for... But you're skinny as a rail. Do you know there's enough MSG? We could bury you and dig you up in about 1,000 years, and you'd still look pretty much the same because of all the MSG in there?
I guess.
All right. I didn't come here to scold you about your eating habits. What kind of home did you grow up in?
Well, my dad's from Delaware. My mom's from Chicago. So.
Yeah. Religious home. What kind of religion was in the house?
Methodist.
I wouldn't have picked Methodist. All right, Kevin, I'm going to quiz you on your Methodism. What would John Wesley, he's the founder of Methodism, you remember that? What would he say is the big point? What's Methodism all about?
What's Methodism all about?
You're a soft-spoken guy, you know that?
Yeah.
You've been told that. All right.
Yes.
Well, speak up a little bit and tell me what Methodism is.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? I know, and I'm not a Methodist.
Well, you sound like you're a religious radio thing.
How do you know I'm a religious radio?
You ask me questions about religion.
Doesn't anybody ever talk to you about religion?
Not on the
It's
radio.
Okay these days. It's not against the law, right?
Right.
All right.
I've never had anyone ask me that question.
Really? No. Okay, you're 19 years old. Has anybody ever tried to witness to you? Has any Christian ever come up to you and said, hey, I want to try to convert you? Has that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? And why did they, what did they tell you? What was the reason they said you should become a Christian?
Pretty much. I mean, the only ones that really tried to meet you are like the people over at Phillips Arena, you know, that... Stand out there and say everything's
all right.
Yeah. So pretty much.
No, but a guy like me walking up to you and going, hey, I want to talk to you about spiritual things. Anybody ever do that with you?
No.
No?
Not really.
Huh. All right, so what is the big message of Methodism? Come on. Come on. Did you ever go to church?
Yeah.
Well, what'd they tell you? Hating this, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to ask you a different question. You ready for this, Kevin? Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to test you. I'm going to give you a quiz. You ready?
Okay.
The Ten Commandment quiz. You ready? How many lies have you told in your life, Kevin?
A lot.
Give me a number.
I don't know.
A lot. All right.
A lot.
Okay. So, Kevin, if you just met me and I told you that I've told a lot of lies, what name would you give to me? What would you call me?
A liar.
All right. So are you a liar?
Yes.
All righty. How many things have you stolen in your life, Kevin?
What do you mean, like just little things or?
Doesn't matter. It's not the object that's so important.
Not much.
It's about your heart.
I don't steal a lot.
Money from your parents, from a sibling, downloading music.
I did a little bit of that back when it was free, but I don't do it now.
Okay, but you've stolen something in your life, right?
Yeah.
All right. So with that, what would that make you? If you've stolen something, that would make you a...
Thief.
Attaboy. All right. Going to get a little more personal. And I can tell you want that because you're enjoying this so much. All right, Kevin. How many times, estimate, do you think that you've looked at a woman and had a desire, a lust, a fantasy about a woman? Nobody saw it. Nobody knew about it. Just you. But you've lusted in your heart.
I'd say quite a few times.
All right, so my Methodist friend, you know that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. You die someday, God's going to kill you because that's how we die. God ends our life.
Yep.
You stand before God and it's judgment time. The books are open on Kevin's life. He's seen all the lies. He's seen all the lusting. You've seen all the stealing. Kevin, would God say that you're an innocent man or a guilty man?
Guilty, but, I mean, no one's perfect. So
I agree, but that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Okay, a criminal standing before a judge can't say, but judge, other people speed, other people do bad things. It's irrelevant. You're standing before a gun.
Yeah.
You're guilty. So here's the question. What should God do with a guilty sinner named Kevin? Should he take him to heaven? Or should he send him to hell?
I think, like I said, nobody's perfect, but if we try our hardest to be the best we can, we should go to heaven. So.
Let me reason with you. You're standing before a judge on earth, and you've broken the laws, lots of them, repeatedly. And you say, but judge, I've tried really hard. What's the judge going to say to you?
You're going to prison.
Right on. What would God say to you?
You're going to hell.
You're going to hell. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew. Well, everybody should go to hell.
Okay.
Right? But this is where the Methodist part comes in. Here's our tension, Kevin. We got ourselves a courtroom drama going on, a legal drama, and you've watched enough lawyer stories on TV. There's a criminal standing before a judge who's broken the laws, and because the judge is just, he can't just go, forget about it, go ahead, go away, you're fine. He couldn't do that because he wouldn't be just. And God can't dismiss sins because that would make him unjust. So God must punish everybody who has broken their laws. That includes you and me and that guy and those people over there. He must punish everybody because he is just. And the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. And he's not going to let anybody get away with murder or lying or stealing or blasphemy or anything. But God is rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners from going to hell. Now we got tension going on. God's got to punish sinners, but he'd like to offer mercy. So what did God do so that justice could be satisfied, so that sinners could be forgiven and set free and go to heaven to be with him? What did God do for you, Kevin, so you don't have to go to hell?
He sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ.
That's the good news of the gospel. That's the story of Methodism right there. The good news of the gospel is Jesus, the God-man, died for you, a sinner, rose from the dead, defeated death, and he offers you forgiveness and everlasting life. He doesn't just give it to everybody. You have got to respond to the good news of the gospel with the R word. Do you know what the R word is?
Religion.
Repentance. Yeah, it's not about religion. It's about repentance. God wants you to, he doesn't want you to join a club and do a bunch of good works, because he already did the good works for you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to recognize, wow, God should have thrashed me. God should squash me like a bug, but instead he died for me. The good man, Jesus, dying for me, the bad man, and he offers me forgiveness and everlasting life. When we recognize that, when we get a glimpse of the goodness of God, it should cause us to want to go, I'm sorry, I have done wrong. I've been living for myself. I've broken all your laws. Please forgive me. And you turn from your sins, which is what repentance is. It's not becoming perfect, but it's having a new attitude, and it's putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the only true and living God. The Bible says when you respond to the good news of the gospel by repenting and trusting his son, all of the goodness that Jesus did, by living a perfect life, keeping all the laws you couldn't, by taking the punishment you deserve, that'll all be credited to your account. And God will take you to heaven because of the good works of Jesus on behalf of the bad man, Kevin. That is what Methodism teaches. That is what the Bible teaches. Now here's the question, Kevin. Is that true?
Yes.
Then here's the next question, and I'll leave you. All right? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So you can point to a day where you realized you weren't a good man, like you told me. You're a sinful man, you're a bad man, you're a dirty man, and you deserve God's wrath, but you realize that Jesus died for you, and you've turned from your sins, and you have put your trust in him. You died to yourself, and he has made you born again. Okay, dude, I'm not your judge, okay? I'm leaving now.
Okay.
You know, and God knows. Your friends probably know, too. If I gathered all your pals around and your family around and I said, tell me, what's the most important thing in Kevin's life, what would they say?
I'd say God.
They would. They'd say he's living for Jesus Christ. But I asked you earlier, I said, what do you want it to say in your tombstone? And you said, I don't know, I'm figuring it out. Shouldn't you have said, well, I'm living for the Lord, and I want to glorify him, and I want to be obedient to him?
Yeah, but you're asking me about mechanical engineering.
All right, dude.
Okay.
The Bible says that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. You don't die to yourself physically, but you die to yourself spiritually, if you will. You stop thinking I'm a good guy. You humble yourself, and God saves you, and you know it. And you don't think you're a good man. You think you're a forgiven man by a good God. So do what the Bible says, Kevin. Examine yourself. I'm not your examiner. I'm a stranger. Examine yourself. See if you are in the truth and make your calling and election sure. If you don't know and you can't honestly say, I know that I've repented and put my trust in Jesus. I am his son. He has got me in his hand. And when I die, I'm going to be with him because of what Jesus did. If you don't know that for sure, then please make today the day of your salvation. He offers you mercy. Repent and trust his son, and he will save you. All right? Fair enough?
Yeah.
We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means? Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that. Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, it's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And there's a young man who's sitting in the shade who's actually looking at a DVD cover. And I wonder, hey, young man, can I sit next to you and chat with you for a moment on the radio while you're sitting and enjoying the shade?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all right? All right, what year are you here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a grad student. I'm actually in
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
get out of here.
I'm trying.
What do you mean? Oh, so you're a grad, but have you graduated?
No.
Oh, so you got one more year to go.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do when you grow up?
Hopefully work for a research and development company.
To develop what?
Polymers, coatings.
So plastic stuff,
yep,
that...
All
right, I want to go back to good, bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
All right, here's my question for you. You ready? Which one are you? the good, the bad, or the ugly?
I think I still need some time to determine that.
Really?
Hopefully the good, but I don't know. Could be the bad.
Let's do the test. Okay. How many lies have you told in your life? Good person.
Quite a bit.
Okay, so if you've told quite a bit of lies, what if I told quite a bit of lies, what name would you give to me?
A liar.
All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Some, I guess.
All right. What does that make you?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be a?
A stealer.
Thief.
A thief. Yeah, okay.
Right? Okay. Let's try this one. Lusting.
Uh-huh.
Looking at a woman, sexual thoughts, sexual desire.
Yeah.
How many times today?
Probably a few.
All righty. So you're a luster at heart. You're an adulterer at heart. Can we say that?
Yeah.
All right. How's about as a child? Were you a good child? Were you a perfect child? Or were you naughty like the rest of us?
I had my times that I was naughty, I guess. Overall, hopefully good. But,
but have you ever been around a child?
Yes.
They're naughty.
Yeah.
So
true.
Are you.
Okay.
All right. So there's four commandments right there.
Okay.
All right. By your own admission, you're a liar. You're a thief.
Uh-huh.
An adulterer at heart who is a naughty kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you good, bad, or ugly?
Guess bad, but I mean, it depends on who you're comparing to, so.
Well, we just did, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but only one person was ever able to, you know, satisfy perfection, so.
And that person was?
Jesus Christ, so, I mean, if you're comparing just to one person, then, yeah, everybody's bad, but I think, you know, overall, there's a different test that, you know, humans can.
What would the test be?
I mean, I guess that would be the ultimate test to be perfection, but in real life, we're not made to be perfect, so...
Okay, let's say, right now, God drops that crane on your head, kills you, you die. Boom!
Correct.
You're transported right before the throne room of God.
Uh-huh.
He's on the bench. He is the just judge of all the world.
Yeah.
And he opens up the books on you. All right?
Okay.
So he knows everything you've thought, everything you've done. The books are open on you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
We'd be guilty, but hopefully he would, you know, I've done enough that his grace would provide for a little, you know, to make up for the things that I haven't done.
Let me share this thought with you.
Okay.
If a criminal said that to a judge,
uh-huh.
Let's go back to an earthly courtroom.
Yeah.
Pretty good parallel here.
Uh-huh.
And the criminal said, okay, judge, I know that I've fill in the blank with the crime.
Right.
I've murdered, I've stolen, whatever. I beat up the dog or whatever it is.
Okay.
But I gave $20 to the Red Cross and I helped a little old lady across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The judge would probably scratch his head and say, that has nothing to do with this court case.
Correct.
Your good deeds or what you think are good deeds
mm-hmm.
have no bearing on the case. And furthermore... You're trying to persuade me and almost bribe me with your good deeds.
Correct. Yeah.
So let's go back to the heavenly courtroom.
Well, hopefully, you know, yes, we're not going to be able to do every good deed in this world, but the ones that we don't do and that we should get punished for, I think that's what Jesus Christ came here and was able to die on the sin for our sins, so that he kind of paid some of that, penalties for us, but still at the same time we do have to do as much as we can. You know what that standard is, I don't think we know. I mean, that's why you got to try to do as much as you can. But
let me run this by you.
Okay.
See what you think of this. All right.
Yeah.
And this is going to be very, very harsh up front.
Yeah.
So just be patient with me, because
okay.
I would suggest to you that the resolution is better than the one maybe you're wrestling with right now.
Okay.
All right. There is nothing inside of you that is presently good before God. Just hang in there with me.
Okay.
All right? It's called total depravity.
Uh-huh.
Now, it doesn't mean that you don't ever do a nice thing or a good thing
uh-huh.
or a helpful thing for society.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Your members, your motives, your thoughts, your desires, everything about you is tainted with sin.
Okay.
Okay? So imagine it. Maybe this is kind of a rough parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Adolf Hitler, we all agree, evil, wicked, rotten guy.
Yeah.
Right? Adolf Hitler brings a dozen roses to a woman and says, here, look what, to a Jewish woman.
Okay.
He'd murdered everybody in his family, in her family, and says, here is a dozen roses.
Yeah.
What an offering that would be, huh? The roses are beautiful. They're very nice. They smell beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're coming from Adolf Hitler.
Correct.
You do nice things. Mm-hmm. You do good things. But they're coming from a guy who's corrupt. I'm not calling you Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you offer something to God and say, look at the good deeds I've done. Mm-hmm. To him, they're not good at all because they're coming from this guy who's at heart wicked and corrupt.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It is, but I believe at the same time that, you know, as a human being that believes in God and Christ, that, you know, there's the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, and the Spirit can live within us. Now, obviously, this earthly body we have, I think, is corrupt because it's made of this world, but there's a Spirit that does live inside of us that has, you know, good inside it that can overcome the evil tendencies that our body has.
Right.
But, you know,
I agree with that.
Okay.
But the question is, how does that Spirit get into you? Here's what I think, mm-hmm. where a lot of people stumble on the whole Christian religion idea.
Okay.
They get out of the starting blocks wrong.
Yeah.
When I asked you if you're a good person, a bad person, or an ugly person, you were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Here's what the Bible says. We are all by nature sinful,
yeah.
and corrupt and unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Everybody falls short of God's standard.
Correct.
So God looks down at us from his vantage point,
yeah.
comparing us to himself, which is perfection, mm-hmm. which is revealed in the Ten Commandments. And he looks at us and we are wicked, awful people. Yeah. And there is nothing we can do that is pleasing to him in and of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And until an individual arrives at that place where they agree with that, not only am I not good, I am wicked, awful, bad. Mm-hmm. I think they're starting in the wrong place.
Okay.
Because once you get to that point, then all of a sudden that idea of Jesus Christ, the God-man, like you rightly said, the Trinity, you got that exactly right,
yeah.
dying for somebody like me is suddenly almost makes you want to gasp for air because the fact that God would do that for a sinner like me
yeah.
is beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. And then when we come to him lowly and broken, confessing and turning from our sins and putting our trust in Jesus
yeah.
without confessing any goodness of our own, but calling out to God for mercy, he then takes the goodness of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here's the theological thought for you. Jesus practiced active and passive obedience. Passive obedience was when he was beaten on the cross and hung up to die.
Okay.
Right? But his active obedience was living a perfect life for 3 decades, keeping every law that you and I, he never lusted.
Yeah.
He never lied. He never dishonored his parents.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That goodness, because of his active obedience, gets credited to your account too.
Okay.
So not only will you be seen as not guilty when you repent and trust the Savior, mm-hmm. but you'll be credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. You will be seen as holy and righteous before God. So that any goodness that we have is because of what Jesus did and nothing that we do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 2 more theological terms for you.
Okay.
You're a smart guy. You can handle this.
All right.
Justification, sanctification.
Yeah.
Justification is a one-time declarative act outside of your body.
Uh-huh.
You repent and trust Jesus. You turn from your wicked ways, throw yourself at his mercy, and trust him for your eternity.
Uh-huh.
And he will justify you one time, declared in heaven.
Yeah.
Nothing you have done, nothing. Your faith, your repentance is merely a 911 call. He does the rescuing and the saving.
Uh-huh.
Once you are made his child, once you are justified, then he begins a work inside of you. He comes and dwells in you, and then he begins to clean you up on the inside.
Yeah.
But even the cleaning up process, you don't get credit for because he's doing it inside of you.
Okay.
That way, he gets all the credit,
uh-huh.
and he gets all the praise, and he gets all the glory. Because if it's something that you kind of do and he makes up the rest,
yeah.
it's kind of a Mormon idea
yeah.
or a Catholic idea. You don't do your best and Jesus does the rest. You've done nothing but
yeah.
bad and Jesus has done it all.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my question for
okay.
you. That question I asked about being good, bad, and ugly,
yeah.
it's a really important question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a loaded one, and maybe you weren't thinking in these terms.
Yeah.
But it's my experience, and I think the Bible backs this up. If a man thinks that he's good, he has not yet been saved.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you got to come to bad recognizing you're bad and ugly.
Uh-huh.
So my question for you, young man,
uh-huh.
have you come to God confessing you're bad and ugly, there's nothing good in and of yourself, and you've turned from your sins and you've put your trust in Jesus?
Have
you done that?
I have.
When did you do that?
I did it, I guess you could say, about teenage years. I was 15, yeah. And I went to a camp, and basically, you know, I grew up in church, so, you know, I thought I was a Christian, but then I think that's the time I decided, you know, it's more than just something you read in words, and so.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, dude, maybe just examine your heart, yeah. See what's going on. It's good to do a little checkup mm-hmm. once in a while.
Okay.
And until tomorrow, go serve your king.